time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 9th of April 2011. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by Island, the stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. You'll find them in Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 9th of April, Jan Scott talked to music promoter Graham Hooper, Rhiannon from Waiheke Library, Linda Savage from the Waiheke Island Council of Social Services, and Brent Gibson spoke to her about the upcoming jazz festival.
We're talking to Graham Hooper, who's promoting that show. Graham, why do you choose The Rocks as a venue?
Well, because they've been very supportive. I mean, people say, why do you put it on The Rocks? Well, during the day, it's a TAB sports bar, granted, but at night, it's not. I mean, the TAB's all switched off, the sports channel's switched off, and at night, it's a music bar. And they've been very supportive. Like, the stage down there is probably one of the best stages after the Woolshed, which I also helped establish. And I had the same problem there. People say, oh, why do you have it at the Dirt Track Club rooms? And when people went, they saw what a great venue it was. And to me, it's not about the name of the place. It's the music that happens on the night.
Yeah, and I think The Rocks is probably one of the best venues for this type of concert, isn't it? Or type of show.
Well, I mean, Artworks is great, but it's limited. And, I mean, it's sad because you have to pay to use the Artworks place, whereas the other places are free. And
that's one of the reasons why you can keep the cost so low.
Well, that's exactly right.
Because the tickets are a brilliant price. The first 100 tickets sold at Shop The Rock are only $6.
Yeah.
Or $10 at the door.
Yeah. I mean,
that's great.
Each one of these artists is probably worth $10 alone just to see. Mm. But I've kept the price down to get more people along to enjoy the show.
That's great, because there's more than just Michelle and Katie Soljak playing tonight, aren't there? There's more
artists.
Well,
JB James is opening the show, and she's got raffle tickets for a bass guitar. Anyone want to buy one?
Ah.
Just to get money for her South Island tour funding. And following that, got Patience Scales, a young Waiheke Islander who is very talented. I mean, she's got a great future ahead of her, so I'm featuring her with her original stuff. Following that will be Disaster Jacket, two young girls from Auckland who are extremely talented as well. They've been here twice before. They did the food bank fundraiser and played at Acoustic Cafe one night.
Right, and we've got to hear a track from them shortly, aren't
Michelle
we?
Michelle Nardi up after that, and Katie Soljak will finish the night, starting as a solo and then bringing a band with her. And the band will feature Doug Durabine, who's a legend from the 60s, 70s. But he will be up there at the end of the night with Katie. So that could be quite interesting.
Absolutely. Now, are any CDs going to be on sale tonight?
Well, I mean, most of the artists will bring CDs of their own. Like Michelle Nardi is just doing this tour, promoting her Firefly CD. And tonight's show is the end of the tour show.
Right, because I noticed she's got a pretty impressive studio band, hasn't she?
Yeah.
With Bruce Lynch, and you know, he's worked with Cat Stevens and Kate Bush. And Andy Lynch, who's worked with the Feelers, and Zed, and Murray Grindley, who's been around since year one. So she's got a lot of good backing there.
Yeah, I mean, tonight's only her on her own, just solo. But you know, if we get a good response, we'll bring a few more musicians with her next time she comes out.
Mm.
But the reason I put the variety show together is because nobody knew her.
Right.
And it's always hard to promote a show if people don't know who the artist is. So.
Yes, exactly. So. And having somebody of Katie Soljak's reputation is got to be helpful, because she's got a big following on the island, hasn't she?
And she's in the process of doing a new album, which will probably be the best she's ever done so far. I mean, she's had some great albums out, but this new one she's working on will have Billy TK and Doug Durabine on it. And it's going to be an amazing album when it's finally ready.
So we hope she'll play some of those tracks tonight.
Yes, you will be. And if you look on the Waiheke Marketplace's website, there is a link to Katie's new single, which is a video.
Yes. It says here, visit www.waihekemarketplace.co.nz to see Katie Soljak sing.
Yep.
So, yeah, have a look at that. And then come down to The Rocks tonight to the concert, which starts at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And it's got a fantastic lineup. Now let's have a listen to this this group called Disaster Jacket. Okay. It's a duo, isn't it?
Yep, two sisters. I mean, they're still at school, but right. They've been here twice, as I said. They played at the Acoustic Cafe, and they did the Waikiki Budgeting Services Food Bank fundraiser, and have got a really amazing response from the crowd. So hopefully, people will be down there to see them tonight.
Now, I understand that you've got another one coming up on the 30th.
Yeah, well, this is a fundraiser for the Japanese tsunami, earthquake, nuclear accident survivors. Again, because of Yuki and her family in Japan. But, you know, everyone's been focusing on Christchurch, which sadly lost 181 people. Some of them were Japanese too, at the language school. But there's about 28,000 people missing in Japan from that disaster. And what happened in New Zealand is disastrous, but what happened in Japan is much, much worse.
Yes, it's true. I guess we look after our own, and we feel the impact of it because it's so close.
Exactly.
And we know so many people. But when you think of the impact of that Japanese tsunami and earthquake, it was phenomenal, wasn't
yep.
it?
Yep. Well, and then there's the ongoing thing with the radiation from the nuclear power plant. Which is a worry
right.
for them as well.
That's right. So who are you going to have at this gig, do you know?
Well, I've got Miho Wada and Asushi and the Moisties. Now, Asushi is like a ska band. Miho Wada was on a commercial on TV with Iggy Pop. She played the flute in the Orcon ad. And there was a number of other artists. I'm trying to get a taiko drumming group. At the moment, most of the artists are coming from Auckland. So I'm hoping to get a little few spots for a couple of Waikiki artists, including some of the Stars in Your Eyes people.
Yeah, they were great, weren't they? I only managed to get to one of those Stars in Your Eyes nights, but I was very impressed with the talent.
Yeah, well, Yuki will redo her Bikaranga Sway song.
Oh, great.
So, and I might try and get the winner of the show, Jemima Finau, to do her song she did for Christchurch victims.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yes.
And whereabouts will that be held?
That'll be at the Rocks.
At the Rocks.
I mean, purely because of the Japanese connection down there with
Yuki. Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, of course. So that's on the 30th of April. That's a Saturday night?
Saturday night, yep.
Right. So keep your eye on the local newspapers for that and support it.
Yep. And if you can get down tonight, that'll be great too. Support these local
absolutely.
Female artists.
What a lineup. I mean, Katie Soljak for a start. And we've listened to Michelle Nadia, who's got a stunning voice. And also, of course, Disaster Jacket, the two sisters who are great. And we've also got Patience Scales and JB James. So
yep.
Brilliant lineup. And tickets, if you get down to Shop the Rock today, are only $6. That's if you're one of the first 100 people in there.
Yeah, well, there's
or
about
it's 10 bucks at the door.
There's about 30 left down there, so I wouldn't make it too late.
But, no, indeed. I mean, $6 for that lineup is absolutely
yep.
stunning.
I mean, each one is worth at least $10 on their own. But, you know,
absolutely.
I'm just trying to make it affordable for people in these economic times.
That's great. Thank you very much, Graham, and,
okay.
and all the best.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you by Island, Art, Craft, Giftware, Clothing and Bric-a-Brac, Ocean View Road, Oniroa.
It's my great pleasure to say hi to Rhiannon from the library. Hello, Rhiannon.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Cool.
Now, you've got lots happening over there, I gather.
Yeah, we're building up for the school holiday program, which starts in a week's time on the 16th of April. And it goes for the 2 weeks of the school holidays. And our focus for this school holiday program is mythical beasts.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, so we've got, we'll have activity booklets for children to pick up from the library from Saturday the 16th onwards. And we've got the two Wednesday events as usual at 11 a.m. on Wednesday the 20th of April. We've got local artist Pamela Matthews, who's created a range of Waiheke dragons. Yeah, and she'll be talking about her work and then taking the children through creating their own Waiheke dragons. You can come and see the displays on in the library at the moment. They're absolutely stunning, really beautiful. She's been creating what she calls visionary surrealist art for many years, and she's released this range of Waiheke dragons which explore every facet of Waiheke life. They're stunning and they're designed to delight and entertain. So,
oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, should be lots of fun.
Do you know what's going to happen to the dragons at the end of it all?
Well, the children will be able to keep the dragons and take them home with them. And we're doing this in conjunction with the entertainment program for Christchurch children who are being billeted over the school holiday period. And that'll give them an opportunity to take their home their own unique Waiheke souvenir.
What a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
When do the holidays start?
The 16th. They run from the 16th of April to the 30th of April.
Okay. And do you know how many children are coming up from Christchurch?
Not at this stage, no. We're not aware exactly how many. I know they've got an intended figure, but I haven't heard whether it's been finalised.
That sounds great. So what else are you doing at the library?
Well, on the following Wednesday, the 27th, also at 11 a.m, we've got Kaleidoscope coming in, and they're going to be putting on a half-hour mythical production in the library, which the audience will be able to participate in.
Ooh.
So that'll be a lot of fun as well.
It will indeed. What time will that take place?
11 a.m. Right. Yeah, both of them at 11.
Right. And that's for all age groups?
It's for particularly 5 to 12-year-olds. That's the group that we focus on.
Right.
So primary school age.
Right. Okay. And do you have anything for older kids over the holidays?
We don't run a program for the older children, but obviously there's the usual range of teenage fiction. They can come in and browse the shelves, and we can also give them advice on great books to read over the holiday.
Absolutely. And, of course, they'd probably be interested in dragons as well.
Well, they might be. They'd be welcome to come along.
There could even be some adults out there who are interested in dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is new in the library? You've got some good books coming?
We've always got new books coming through. And now that it's free to order books from town, it's well worth taking a look at our catalogue online and ordering books over.
Oh, okay. So you can do that online. I didn't realise that.
You can, yeah, from home.
So how do you do that?
You just need to go to our website, which is on the on most people's library cards. It's on the back.
Okay, so this would be the Auckland City Library website.
Well, Auckland Libraries now, you can access it through the Auckland City Libraries website as well.
And then you get a link to Waiheke. Mm. Okay.
Well, you're basically looking at the whole catalogue for the whole system.
Crikey, that'd be a big file, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's massive.
Do you have any idea how many books there are in there?
Oh, I did. Millions. We're talking about a lot of books, yeah.
Yeah. I used to enjoy going to the annual sell-off that the Auckland Library used to have on Wellesley Street. They used to clear out their basement every now and then and put trestle tables along Lawn Street. And And bought some fantastic books from there for, very cheaply.
Yeah, I think they had a sale not that long ago, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
And I was also wanting to mention about the Auckland Writers and Readers Festival, which the brochures are now available in the library, so you can come in and pick those up. The festival runs from the 11th to the 15th of May. They've got a great lineup as usual of local and international authors. I just wanted to mention one in particular that a lot of our readers are keen on is Michael Connolly, who's a crime writer, and it's his only appearance in Auckland. So well worth checking that one out and getting your tickets ordered. They think that's going to sell out pretty quickly.
Michael Connolly, where is he from?
I believe he's an American writer. Actually, he's a crime writer, and he's extremely popular with our readers. And let me see. I have got a bio just in here.
I'm sure I've seen the
name. Oh, yes, he is American. He studied writing and journalism in the University of Florida.
Okay, so what date is he going to be here?
He is talking on Tuesday, May 24th, from 6 until 8:30 p.m. In Queen Street, in a cinema in Queen Street. So check out the website, though, for the Writers Festival. It's www.writersfestival.co.nz, and you can have a look there, or you can pick up the programme from the library.
And no doubt there'll be something in the local newspapers about that.
Yep, I keep an eye out for it. But the best thing to do is get hold of the brochure.
And you can pick up a brochure at the library.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. What date does that run from?
It was from the 11th until the 15th of May, though obviously, as with that event, there are some other events that run a little bit later. So well worth checking those out too. We've also got on Saturday, May 14th, there's a talk between Carl Nixon and Sarah Quigley. Carl Nixon, who was up for One Island, One Book recently. So he's talking again with Sarah. And it says here, coincidentally, they were friends in high school, and now they're both well-known New Zealand writers.
And that will be in the city, will it?
Yes, most of the events are held at the Aotea Centre.
Right, because that was highly successful, wasn't it? One Island, One Book.
Yeah, we were very pleased with that.
Yes, yes. I was sorry I didn't get along to actually that Thursday night with him because I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I really liked his way of writing.
Oh, he's a brilliant writer, absolutely. Beautiful sense of place and language.
Mm. Do you have any... I'm a bit ignorant about him, I must admit. Sorry about that, Carl. But his other books, I mean, has he written an awful lot?
Yeah, he started out as a playwright and then he moved into short story fiction. So he's got a couple of short story collections, or at least one in particular the plays tie into, which was the Fish and Chips Shop Song. And then he followed up with a novel called Rocking Horse Road, and then this one, Settlers Creek, was his second novel, and he's now working on a third novel.
Uh-huh. That'll be worth waiting for.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Now, you've also got a book review for us, I think.
Yes, I thought with a mythical theme we could take a look at a book that had mythology as its foundation. And it is. It came out actually in 2006, but it's one worth hunting out on the shelves if you've missed it. It was called The Silver Bough, and it's set in Scotland. It's written by an American writer who actually moved to Scotland, and it was her first Scottish book. And the author is called Lisa Tuttle, and she's one of my favourite genres is actually the magical realism, which is often draws on mythology, and she's a great magical realist writer. And this particular book, The Silver Bough, follows the stories of three very different American women who are living in this are in this little village called Appleton. And Appleton is actually very strongly connected to Avalon. So it's drawing on that mythology.
So it's along the lines of the Mists of Avalon stories.
Well, a little bit. She basically mixes up a whole load of Scottish mythology with the idea of this Isle of Apples where anything's possible. And basically you've got three American women, as I said, one who's... the woman who's come in as the town's head librarian, so she's come from America to be a librarian in the Scottish town. And there's widowed Nell Westray, who's very keen on her gardening in this beautiful place, and she is there partly because she has a connection to the place. She had her happiest moments with her husband there, who's now died. And then there's young Ashley Caldis, who's gone back to Scotland to find her roots. So she's of Scottish ancestry, but raised in America. And there's a sudden landslide which cuts Appleton off from the wider world and the usual constraints of reality, and the village reveals itself to be an extraordinary place inhabited by legendary beings, secret rooms, and the blossoming of a rare fruit not seen in decades. And then there's also a very handsome stranger who has connections with the other world.
You've got to have one of those.
Absolutely, yeah. And... yeah, so it's a story. It's a story of love, essentially, and also of mythology and place.
So, what is the name of it again?
The name of it's The Silver Bough.
Is that B-O-U-G-H?
That's right, and it's by Lisa Tuttle.
Lisa Tuttle. Oh, I might have to write that down and get that out sometime when I finish reading what I'm reading now. That's excellent. And has she written many books?
Yes, she started her career in America, and she wrote what you'd probably have to describe as quite deep psychological fiction, which had the magical realist element to it, absolutely. And then when she moved to Scotland, she picked up the mythology of Scotland very strongly, and Silver Bough was one of her books, and she also wrote one called The Mysteries.
Sometimes with that genre, there are written as a series, aren't they? Does it matter which order you read her books in?
Well, actually, no. They can be, absolutely, but with Lisa, each one's a standalone book.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So you can just go into the library and ask for The Silver Bough by Lisa Tuttle, and you won't be missing out on anything by not reading her previous book.
No.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Rhiannon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We look forward to next month and catching up with what's on at Waiheke Library. It's a buzzy place.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, kids, there's a good school holiday program coming up that's got all sorts of mythical, wonderful dragons and creatures. So keep an eye out in Golf News and Marketplace, and don't forget to come along to those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Rhiannon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
It's my pleasure to say hello to Linda Savage. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Jen.
Now, you've come along to talk to us about WICOS, is that right? Oh, one of the things to talk
about. Yes, WICOS, the Waiheke Island Council of Social Services, has a very wide membership. We've got Living Without Violence, Piritahi Hawara, Budgeting, Waiheke Health Trust, YATA, Friends of the Street, Rotary, there's a community board representation there. So there's a number of agencies on WICOS.
So how does it all come together?
We meet monthly. There is an agenda that we go through, and we will keep each other informed of what each one of our agencies are doing so that we can have a much more strategic approach to activities on the island.
That's great. So do you make joint submissions and things like that to the government? Or
We recently did a submission to I can't remember what it's called now, but we did a submission to do with the new alcohol laws and reforms. Mm-hmm. So we did a joint one there. We're also looking at the doing a submission to the community board for the 1-3-5 10-year plan that the community board's looking at.
Yes, because they need input on that, don't they?
Yep.
So what broadly is your long-term plan for social services on the island?
We haven't actually come up with a finished document. We had our first meeting on that subcommittee meeting on that last week, so it's a work in progress.
Okay, what would you think are the major social services problems on the island or issues?
Well, the things that we're talking about at the moment for us in terms of priorities is youth, because they are our future, and so we're really looking at what we can do for youth in terms of education around drinks, drugs, abuse, physical or emotional and mental, and what it is that youth want. I mean, we're really keen to have a dialogue with youth, and Denise Roche has been trying to sort of set up a youth forum, and WICOS is well behind that. So there's a number of agencies, including the police, that really want to start working quite proactively with youth.
That's a great idea, because a lot of people think of Waiheke, what an idyllic place to grow up in, and you've got the beach and all of that sort of thing, but it could be dead boring for some, especially when they're getting into teenage years and social scenes a bit limited.
I think youth, it's that whole classic thing with youth, isn't it? You know, there's nothing to do, and I think they could be living in a wonderful metropolis, but they would still be saying, oh, I'm bored and there's nothing to do. But the Waiheke youth, there's some wonderfully creative people on Waiheke, youth on Waiheke. We want to start engaging with all the different types of youth and find out what it is that we can do together. And also about, bringing up other young people to be with a real good social awareness, around their community.
Mm. Mm. Yes, that is important, isn't it, to provide that the environment for young people to experience that. I've become involved over 3 or 4 years ago with the rugby club, and that particular club has really started to hum, and they've got teams from all ages, from little 4-year-olds right through to the seniors, and it's a very social family environment. It's a great environment, I think, and it's good and healthy and whatever, and I get some exercise running up and down the sideline cheering them on.
Yeah, I think sport's definitely a good thing for youth. It's a focus point for them, and it is healthy, and it gives them a good spirit, I think, you know. So sports, really, really key. And on the island, we've got some wonderful sports like the rugby, like the netball. We've got the Sea Scouts. You know, there's quite a few sports, the soccer. So it's quite a lot of sports on the island, so we're really lucky to have all of that.
We are, and we've also got the other end, the more cultural end, if you like. I know that Drumability would love to get some teenage involvement. They've got they've got the children and they've got the adults, but they love that group in the middle to get involved as well.
Yeah,
and so there's really is a lot of opportunity there. But I guess, you know, one of the things, one of the perceptions I have is for teenagers, if they've been on the island all their life, then their social circle must be quite small, because they've grown up with the same people, and especially when you get to the start, when you start dating and that sort of thing, it would be a very limited pool, I would think.
It probably is, but I think they, you know, most children normally hang around in a small radius area, you know, and tends to be very much linked to their school or any groups that they're attached to. So it does tend to remain quite local until, you know, they get older and then maybe they go to university or they go to college, and then their networks spread out, and as their networks spread out, then so do their circle of friends. But yeah, so youth is a thing that we're really trying to focus on YCOS at the moment, among other things, obviously. We've also got the business campaign that Piritahi Hawara and Living Without Violence are doing. We are doing a seminar for businesses to come along to find out about how domestic violence affects their business, their bottom line, and what we can do to help.
Okay, so is that sort of people absence from work because of violence and that sort of thing that you're thinking of, or is there something more to that?
No, that you're right. I mean, absenteeism is one of the factors that affect business. Another one is productivity. You know, if somebody has got an issue around abuse, the likelihood is they're not going to be fully focused on their work, so productivity can be affected. Also, morale in the group within which they work can be affected. If their colleagues are aware that there are issues around abuse going on, it can affect them. So there's a lot of effect to businesses. And so businesses need to be aware of it, and also to be aware that there are strategies that they can put in place to help and support their employees.
That's important, because, you know, my initial reaction when you were talking about that was, what about privacy issues? And I guess if you can give them the strategy so that they're not going to encroach upon those, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what we're hoping to do. So it's the International Day of Wellbeing and Health in the Workplace on April the 28th. So the seminar will be run on that day. We were hoping for Peter Leach to come along and, as a speaker, but unfortunately he's not able to necessarily, he may not be able to come, because as most of people will know, he's not been very well. So he has said, you know, to try to get somebody else, but if he is well enough, he will come along, because he fully supports the whole proposal that we're putting forward. So
So what are you putting forward as a proposal?
What we're putting forward as a proposal is that businesses invite us in. Now, that could look like us going into someone like Placemakers or Woolworths, the big employers, we'll go into them. Or we may get a number of businesses together, maybe all of the accountants or all of the lawnmowers, or I don't know, you know, in the smaller businesses, get them together in a hall and speak to the employees. And that's employees ranging from the management right the way down, and just making them aware of what they can do to help somebody if somebody is suffering from some kind of physical, emotional, or mental abuse.
Do you think that being a small community is a plus or a minus in this?
That's an interesting question. I think the problem with the island is the confidentiality issue, you know, because a lot of people know who you are and know of you. And so if they sort of see you coming into our offices or things like that, you know, some people are very concerned around confidentiality. That's a big one on the island. The other interesting thing is, you would think that more people would ask you if you're okay on the island because it's a small community. But one of the one of my colleagues who works at Piritahi Hawara, as well as Living Without Violence, got a black eye from playing netball. And she went into Woolworths and she went to Placemakers and she was at the garage, you know, and she was walking around and she noted that nobody asked her how she got her black eye. And why is that? You know, is it because they actually don't really want to know the answer in case it might affect them in a way that they don't know how to deal with it? So that was one of the main things of sort of starting us to think, well, we really need to be getting it out there, you know, that if you do see someone that you feel is suffering from abuse and might need a little bit of help, that there are things that you can do.
Yes, that's important to educate the public as well as businesses, isn't it? So that we all know what we can do.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily come naturally. You don't necessarily know off the top of your head what you can do.
Yeah. There's the government campaign on the television. I don't know whether you've noticed it yet. That is very much around what other people can do to help. So that's the next phase in that whole It's Not Okay campaign. Mm. And on the website, there's some plans and sort of advice on what you can do. So if you go onto the ruok.co.nz website, there's a lot of really good stuff there if you're concerned about somebody to go in and have a look.
Right, yes, because there's an issue with people's privacy, isn't there?
Yeah.
And you don't want to encroach on that, particularly if you don't know them particularly well.
Yeah.
You don't just want to bowl in there and all guns blazing, as it were.
Sometimes a smile and a, you know, are you okay?
Mm.
And that sometimes can be enough, and that may prompt the person to speak to you, or it just might make them feel a little bit better, you know, that somebody actually cares.
Mm, that's right. We found out, I live in Rocky Bay, and it's been an interesting how that community has changed since the store burned down, because that used to be the focal point and everybody met there at least once a week and you knew everybody. But we had a public meeting some weeks back and I looked around the room and I thought, I don't know half of these people.
Mm.
And you get talking to them, oh, I've been here 3 years or 5 years or whatever it happens to be. We've got a regular thing happening now in the hall on a Thursday afternoon, and that's well patronised. But so you don't necessarily know people, and you don't feel that you can intervene or ask them personal questions.
Mm. So as I said, like sometimes just a smile, you know, and an are you okay is sometimes just enough. And, you know, we all know who are locals, you know, so we walk down the street and we'll smile at a local. We may not know them, but, you know, so that's the thing with Waiheke, that you're always smiling at the other locals that you know, that you see a lot in Woolworths or you might see at the bus stop or whatever. But you are right about the whole thing around what is the focal points for communities to meet. It used to be the church or the pub, and in Rocky Bay it was the store. But there's not many things like that anymore that are well attended. Street parties is always a wonderful thing to get to know your neighbours. Mm. You know, maybe we should start having summer street parties.
Well, that's not a silly idea. I think there was it a week or two back, it was a national Get to Know Your Neighbour Day or something that they were suggesting street parties and things.
Mm.
But, and there are some that do that quite regularly on the island. I think they get together at somebody's place for a glass of wine once a month or something, which sounds like a great idea.
Mm.
But, Now, YCOS, are they associated with any other social service groups? I mean, I'm thinking that there's the New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services, and there are a few organisations like that out there. Do they have a link with any of those?
Yeah, well, there is the New Zealand Council of Social Services. So there is a national body that all of the Council of Social Services belong to. So ours is called YCOS mainly, well, really, because it's Waiheke Island in front of the COSS.
Mm.
So there are ones all over the country. And there are regional meetings, and we have members that attend the regional meetings. And then there are national AGMs. So there is a lot of national support. Yeah. Mm.
Yes, because I think those, I know in particular the NZCCSS has got quite a profile with the government when they do reports and things that the government listens, which is very useful.
Yeah.
Do you see a problem on the island with housing and the affordability for housing? As far as I know, there's not a lot of rental housing anymore, is there?
Mm.
And there was a concern expressed a while back about teachers and nurses and people like that coming over to the island and not being able to find anywhere to stay. Is that a problem, or is it sorting itself out?
We have briefly discussed that a while ago. You know, the cost of renting a property on the island in comparison to the salaries earned on the island, you know, it's not really a good mix. And we could be in danger of losing some core people, you know, and professions, because it is very expensive to live here. It's not just the high rents, but the food's very expensive here. So Waiheke Island is an expensive place, and budgeting services are certainly been kept busy, you know, supporting those that are finding it hard.
Yes, that's right. And of course, travel costs are not cheap,
and going up.
Yeah, that's right. And it's sort of indicative of what's happening in the world, I guess. Mm. I filled up my little car the other day. It usually cost me about $70 and it was $91.
Wow.
You know, because it takes 91 unleaded. And right. When he said 91, I thought he was referring to the unleaded. And then he put a dollar sign in front of it and just had to pick me up off the floor. But that's the way it goes, I'm afraid, at the moment. It's interesting with petrol prices, how they increase them overnight, even though the petrol that's sitting in the tank in the petrol station was paid for at yesterday's prices. But it doesn't go down as quickly afterwards, does it?
I do understand from the BP garage in Onaroa that they don't put their petrol prices up until they get a new delivery in.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
I don't know about the others, but I know that David said that.
Right. So you would have close contact with budgeting?
Budgeting are a member of WICOS, yep. Mm. Yeah, a very active member of WICOS. So we all work together, yep.
That's great. I mean, in a small community like Waiheke, it's great that we've got this group, that an umbrella group, if you like, that coordinates social services on the island. How often do you meet?
Once a month.
Okay. And it's all voluntary, I presume.
We're all representatives of one of an agency or a group. So for us that are employed by the agencies or organisations, then it's part of our job, so we do get paid for it. But it is mainly people that represent agencies and organisations on the island.
Right. Do you have representatives from the ratepayers groups? Or would that, is that sort of a red herring?
No, we don't. I'm not aware that we do have, no. It's mainly agencies that are actively involved in social welfare activities or some kind of community activity like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what's on the plate at the moment that you're really working on?
Well, from the international Day for Wellbeing and Health in the Workplace seminar for businesses is the big thing that's happening for us, for Living Without Violence and Piritahi Hora. But from we've got quite a lot on our agenda at WICOS. As I said, youth's one thing. We're putting together the submission to the community board. And there's a few other things that are in the pipeline around volunteers, you know, what training can be given for people who use volunteers, you know. So, yeah, so there's lots of little things bubbling at the moment.
The business seminar, is that by invitation or is it an open?
It's open, but we are going to be sending out information on it to the businesses on the island.
Whereabouts will you be holding it?
That's a really good question. We haven't got the venue booked yet, but it is hopefully going to be the bowling club.
Okay, and what date is that?
28th of April.
Great. Okay, well, best of luck with that.
Thank you very much.
And I think you're going to become a regular guest once a month on this program, aren't you?
Not me personally, but a member from YCOS will be coming along once a month, which is really great. And we want to thank Waiheke Radio for that, because it gives us an opportunity to, you know, just to be heard and to get the whole social welfare thing out there, really.
Mm. That's great, yes. And thank you for giving us some background on YCOS and filling us in on it. And we look forward to seeing you or somebody else next month.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks a lot, Jan.
Thanks, Linda.
Cheers.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke people, events and issues, brought to you by Island. Art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Ocean View Road, Onirua.
And it's my pleasure to say good morning to Brent Gibson. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Jan. How are you? And good morning, Waiheke Island.
Ah, we're fine. Absolutely fine. Now, you've
what
come
a beautiful day it is out there.
Oh, isn't it a stunning place?
Unbelievable. We live in heaven.
We do indeed, and it's going to be music heaven over Easter, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah, we've nicknamed Waiheke Island Music Land over Easter. We've got this magnificent jazz festival that we've been organising for the last 6 months, and fabulous lineup of great acts. Very, very fortunate to have the talent that we've got coming down here, but that's really down to John Quigley, the leader of Nairobi Trio. He's a very, very well respected and well-liked character in the music industry, and he's been able to attract an incredible array of very, very good talent.
Yes, we can see that from the lineup in the marketplace and Gulf News. And in fact, we've been playing pretty much exclusively music from some of those artists who'll be here over Easter. Now, we've got a supper club. What's the supper club all about?
Well, the supper club was actually put together 8 or 9 years ago, when David Parkett was running the jazz festival down here. It was an initiative that that I came up with as the previous manager of the Waiheke Island Resort, and we had all of the bands staying with us up at the resort. So I just thought it was a good idea that maybe when they finished their evening gigs and after they'd gone back home and freshened up, they weren't ready to go to bed. So came up with this idea of having a late night supper club, which was sort of really a speakeasy late night sort of club scene where all the guys from the bands come up to the lobby in the hotel. We've got a stage set up there, and they just basically have a jam session, really, and get to know each other. And we invite a crowd of people in there, and we have an 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. slot, so it's a late night, early morning slot, and it is very, very successful and very, very popular. It's a very sort of laid-back, sort of Ronnie Scott type late night club gig.
It's a great idea, because if you come out of one of those concerts, you're all abuzz and ready looking for a party, aren't you?
No one's ready to go to bed.
That's for sure. And I remember Lillian Boutet doing a late night gig at the resort, and that was just stunning.
It's fantastic.
Whereabouts is this going to be, the supper club?
Well, the supper club is up at the resort again, up at the Waiheke Island Resort at Palm Beach. Now, there are only limited tickets. The resort lounge, restaurant and lounge, is not a big area, so we'll be dumbing the numbers down to probably be 130, 140 people only. The supper club's on Friday night and on Saturday night, and we've got a magnificent artist from New York doing the supper club on Friday night. She's flying in from New York for it. So Friday night and Saturday night, 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. Tickets are available at the resort, 372-0011, extension 1, or just next door here at the EyeSight. They've got tickets for supper club or online. But we will be limiting tickets to 150 people per night, and this is available online, and it is selling fast.
And how much are the tickets?
$25. It's $25 entry.
Gee, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very reasonable, and it's a wonderful late night venue.
Right, and you will have food available?
We will. We'll be running a supper menu, but, you know, it's a dumbed-down supper menu, and the folks can just order what they like. There's no pressure. There's no pressure to order, you know, main meals at that time of the night, obviously, so there will be supper available. And that'll be after our evening concert series that finishes at 10 o'clock at the resort.
Right, okay. And tell us something about the artists that are going to be playing at the supper club.
Well, basically all of the artists that are staying at the resort, and most of them will be staying overnight, Friday or Saturday night. Those that are staying at the resort will come up and will actually play on stage. So you'll get the opportunity to witness and see them all. They'll play with they won't play in their own groups, so they'll play with other guys and other bands. Great opportunity to sort of have a jam session, if you like. So it's a very loose jazz fusion jam session, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, and you get some fabulous music out of it and a lot of humour, because you know the musicians have just finished work, they're on a high. We've got the evening concert series, of course, at our three outlets on Waiheke Island, the old Matete Harbour Master site. We've renamed the bay, we've got that, we've got the Waiheke Island Resort and the Dunes. So from 7 till 10 we have our evening concert series, which is a seated informal seated dine and jazz speak between 7 and 10 o'clock. And again, the menu is very, very casual. You can just pick on a cheese board or have a full meal. There's no pressure on you to eat a substantial meal at night, because we think that most people will probably eat before they come out. But the shows are a great opportunity to actually see your favourite artists up close and personal. Because again, the seats are very limited in the evening. Everybody gets a seat at all of the outlets in the evening between 7 and 10, so it's very comfortable and it's very intimate. So after that, they'll all go back to the resort. We hope we'll get a little crowd back there with us. We know we will, and we'll enjoy this late night session.
That sounds absolutely great. With the bay, you've no doubt had to do a bit of renovation there, I would think, seeing it's been sitting there empty for quite a while. What sort of theme have you got there now?
We've tried to... It's quite modern, Jan. It's quite modern. We're opening as a licensed restaurant next Friday. We've got a fabulous executive chef down there. But, you know, we are hoping, obviously, to do events, and we will be running the jazz festival down there. But we've brought in a couple of interior painters, designer painters from London. A couple of girls have done do a lot of gilded work in London, and, you know, they've funked it up quite nicely down there. We've spent an awful amount of money down there. The place was very, very run down, the old Harbour Master site. Those of you that have been on the island a long time will know then, understand that. Very, very, very different now. We really have future-proofed it. We've got almost a brand new building now. We've gutted and completely rebuilt it. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll be a music venue down there, of course. We'll be running a booze bus as well out of there. We've got host responsibility is important for us, and down at the wharf there, it's an isolated area down there. We're going to be sort of doing the sort of music that's going to fit with the environment down there. In the past, obviously, there's been different types of sounds emanating out of the valley there, and not always popular with the neighbours. So, you know, we're very, very careful to take all the neighbours, peace and quiet into consideration. And we'll be doing a lot of jazz down there. We really like the jazz, so we'll be doing a lot of that down there as well. But a beautiful place to go down to now, overlooking the waterfront. Always been a great spot and a favourite of the locals.
Absolutely, and it worked extremely well as a late night venue. One of the jazz festivals I remember was Lillian Boutte and Charmaine Neville, and it was called Scarlet's Bar or something, and that the ambience there was brilliant.
We want everyone to know, like with the jazz festival, of course it's the end of April and we can't rely on the weather. Very, very important for everybody to know that all of our venues are dry weather venues. So if you buy a ticket to an afternoon show at any of our venues, or the evening concert series, of course, then you'll get a seat inside the venue, or you will be inside the venue if it rains. So we're not taking any chances with the weather. You know, in the past there have been a few gambles around the weather, and you know, marquees and the like, and it hasn't been ideal for concert goers. We're not interested in any of that. We're going to be very, very careful. That's why we've kept it small and intimate, and we just want everyone to have a first class experience. So, you know, no mud, no gumboots, and we're staying right away from that, Jan.
fair enough. Yes, yes. It was like fun at the time, but yes, well.
Exactly.
Now, just thinking about the supper club up at the resort, there's not a heck of a lot of parking up there, is there? Are you going to run a bus from...
We will. We've got a shuttle that will be running from the bottom of the driveway, and excuse me, we're going to have parking wardens down the bottom as well. So, as I said, there's only room for 150 people there. And the tickets are selling very, very fast online already. So I would implore you, if you are interested in participating in that late night speakeasy jazz session, please buy your ticket, because it is a ticket-only event, and they are selling very, very fast online. People are snapping them up. So really don't want the locals to miss out. It's a great event for the locals. There'll be some parking up the top of the car park, but we'll run a shuttle from the front gate, and we've got security down there to look after the cars as well, so all the cars will be well looked after.
That sounds brilliant. Now, just remind me, Brent, where else people can buy tickets apart from online?
Well, that's very, very important, Jan, and this is a very important announcement. You can buy tickets at the iSight here at Artworks. They're available for all events, the day concert event, the evening concert series, and the supper club can all be bought from iSight. Also, we have our gold card event. Our gold card event for the over 65s on Good Friday at the Bay, and that's featuring a couple of fantastic acts, one of which you've just played, Briar. So we do have a gold card event down there. That's a jazz and sizzle event. That's Good Friday afternoon, midday to 5, and that's $25 a head, and you get a free sausage sizzle, and that's complimentary courtesy of the Mad Butcher with the wonderful Sir Peter Leach. So Peter's got behind it. The Mad Butcher's got behind that jazz and sizzle for the over 65s, which is fantastic. You can buy tickets at the iSight. You can buy them at the Waiheke Island Resort at 4 Bay Road, Palm Beach. You can phone the resort, 372-0011. That's 372-0011, extension 1. So if you go through there, Sharon has tickets at the front desk. She can courier them to you or have them delivered to you. Or, of course, you can buy tickets online as well. There will be tickets available on the day. We will be having a ticket station at Matete Wharf. And at all the locations, there'll be ticket sellers as well. But we would implore you to buy your tickets early. If it's raining, we will obviously be limiting numbers.
Right, okay, that's great. Now, we're talking to Brent Gibson particularly about the Waiheke Jazz Festival this Easter. But, Brent, you're also involved with Briar Ross's Jazz Club on a Sunday afternoon down at Salt, aren't you?
And isn't that going beautifully?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
She is fantastic, Briar. I mean, look, she really has single-handedly kept the whole jazz culture going on Waiheke Island. She has just been fantastic, Briar. She's a fabulous marketer. She's a great promoter. She's an outstanding world-class singer, as we all know. She's got a great band, and she's got an infectious enthusiasm for jazz that is just second to none, and I love her. I think she's fantastic. I was very, very fortunate when she approached us and asked us whether she could make Salt or the Dunes at Honeytingi Beach the home for the Jazz Club on a Sunday, and we're very, very happy to announce that every Sunday now between 1 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we've got Briar, and we'll be featuring her right over winter every Sunday afternoon, 1 till 4. We've got a fabulous jazz menu down there. We've had a very, very good attendance already last 2 weeks, which are the first 2 weeks that we've been running the show. Good numbers, well over 100 people in the afternoon. Thoroughly enjoyed the music. Obviously, we've got a menu there. A menu, you can have a glass of wine on the beach. When the weather starts to get a bit intermittent and a bit cooler, then we can take the show indoors. And we've got that wonderful open fire out the back that we'll have going on a Sunday afternoon. So, look, it's just a wonderful environment over the winter. It's a great Sunday session, Sunday afternoon gig.
And there's another plus to it. It doesn't cost anything.
That's right. It's free.
There's no cover charge.
Completely free admission. Now, you come down and listen to an absolutely outstanding international musician. Pop down, you know, grab a glass of water or a glass of wine or a glass of beer or a bite to eat and listen to an outstanding musician that we're very, 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 very lucky to have living in our, on our island.
Absolutely. Now, what's going to happen for you after the Jazz Festival? Have you got anything else in the pipeline?
Yeah, I'm going to fall into a heap.
Yes, no doubt.
There you go. No, well, we've got the opening of the Bay, of course, next week. Then that's followed by the Jazz Festival. And after the Jazz Festival, I guess my focus will be the World Cup. So, and looking at entertainment for the World Cup as well, jazz again. Really want to promote this sort of... this new theme that I've sort of dreamt up, this music land, Waiheke Island music land. We have some outstanding musicians on this island. I've been going off to the island jam sessions on a Sunday night, and I'm just astounded by the talent that we have on this island, the musical talent. We are very, very fortunate, this place. You know, we're well known for our wine. We're not well known for our art. We will be very, very well known for our music. We have outstanding musicians that are attracted to this island.
We certainly do. We're jolly lucky. We're very, very lucky.
We sure are.
So we look forward to all of that, Brent, and thank you for your enthusiasm in getting the Jazz Festival back up and running. We wish you every success with it.
Thanks very much, Tian. I really appreciate the time, and I look forward to seeing you down at the Jazz Sundays at Briars. And I'll see you at the venue as well over the weekend.
Absolutely.
For the Jazz Festival.
Okay.
And thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. And the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website, www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Onirola.